I'm just grateful that I'm still alive this week.
Yeah, it will happen one day.
I know.
All right, it is 1:30, and we are back in a work session talking about our five-year transportation plan, which ultimately we will approve later this spring. I think the deadline is here by April 15th, and we'll do it sometime at a board meeting before that. Is that what our plan is?
Correct.
So this is our first look at it. And Darren, I'll just turn it over to you as you're ready. And welcome Tyler as well.
Okay. I'm going to hit the lights over.
Yeah,
okay, this is the second year we've done it as a work session. In the past, we've done it as part of a board meeting, but we wanted to spend a little more time on it, so we pulled it into a work session.
Turn the outer ones on, inner ones off. Yeah. How about that?
That's better.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see Andy, Darren.
Now, I point out, this is a large file. I always have a lot of photos, so I copied on the S drive. It's hard for me to save on our webpage, so if you ever want to get to it, what I present today is right here on the S drive, Engineering 5-Year Program.
Super.
As Rick mentioned, we're required by Iowa Code to approve the secondary road construction program and send it into DOT by April 15th of each year. Some general rules to follow. The program should be based on the amount of money available to spend, or the DOT won't approve it. Ideally, projects enter the fifth year and work their way up to the accomplishment year, which is the first year. That doesn't always happen. It doesn't have to happen, but that gives us more time to develop the projects. New paving projects must meet paving points. Usually that's not an issue, but we are doing some new paving now, so I'll go over that a little more detail this year. And the road system that the project is on may determine what type of funding can be used. A lot of factors in selecting projects for the program. Here's a bunch of them, and the most important one is on the bottom, are funds available. The first step we take each year is to do our local budget and figure out our local construction. And this is last year's FY18 that was approved. The top four projects are already completed. The first two were carryovers with the Stars, but we did these kind of in advance, two bridges, and then we had four more left to do this year, which get let here in the next couple weeks. So moving on to FY19, this is what the board was presented at our budget session. And we figured out a new budget process with working with the DOT where we don't have to budget both years now, and that works great for me too, so I'm glad they worked with us on that. So that you'll see the carryovers no longer have dollars. So just starting with project number 6 going down. Adds up to $995,000, so we have about $1 million construction, local construction dollars budgeted this time around. And then we add in some the BR money, which is a reimbursable match. So that's where we need the entire 1.2, but we're only really spending $1 million of local dollars. I do have one change I'm going to propose here. I might as well point out while we're in this section here. 675th, when I originally submitted this to the board, I had $200,000 and we were just getting into the design a little further. Usually when we throw numbers in this, we haven't really started design, so these are our best guess. This project turned in to be much more expensive than originally started, and I'll show you pictures later, but so originally it was $200,000, it's bumped up to $350,000, and it's a low-travel local road. I'm not sure we want to spend that type of money on that project right now, but I'll show you the options a little later.
Okay.
This is the form the DOT requires it to be on to submit. I didn't print that out for you because it's a little hard to follow. I use a different form that you have in front of you. And this is the paving point computation. DOT requires at the end of our five-year program. That's a little tough to read. But you got to have 50 points for a paving project to pave a new gravel road, turn it into pavement, or you have to have a public hearing held to justify paving a road. The first two, 13th Street Extension, and the second one is 530th Avenue, University Avenue south of Ames. Those both met paving points. The second two are both 560th Avenue south of Huxley. There's two different segments. Neither one of those met paving points. We would have to hold hearings. I put October 23rd of 2018 as just a placeholder for the DOT, saying we'll hold it then if we decide to move forward with these projects. That is really hard to read. This is just kind of giving a snapshot of our payment age. I kind of break things into two sections. We'll do payments first, and we'll move on to bridges. So we have PC payments and HMA payments. The years here, if it's yellow, it's actually in the proposed program. There's no PC payments in the proposed program other than brand new ones. These are existing ones. This goes back to 1980 all the way up to 2017. We paid two new ones. This one is, you know, approaching 40 years old, and it's still in great shape. That one's really
Which
loud.
One is that?
That's Boone County Line, R38 north of Lincoln
okay.
Way.
Yep.
But you drop down to a little further, R70, our other long one, 7 miles. That was paid in 1991, so much later. And that one's starting to see some issues. So we say 40-year design life on the PC payments and about 25 on the HMA, depending how they're designed, of course. We have a couple older ones that aren't in the program yet. One's an old DOT project on E18. We don't even have the old plans for that, so we're not sure what the payment is, but it's really lasting a long time. It's just rutting really bad, so it's really had extra asphalt in it. But our major ones in here are the E63 Collins. That's 6 miles. Hickory Grove Road, R77 north of Roland. That one has actually been done just this past year. And the bottom two our S27 south and R38.
So before you get move off of R38,
so
we did R38, feels like in 2007 or 2008.
Yeah, we spent about $6.5 million to do that stretch of 8 miles. We kind of knew when we were doing it at the time we were in a limited amount of funding, and it had to do more with the pavement thickness. It's lasted, but it's getting so much traffic and heavy truck traffic that it's starting to show some rutting, and we don't want that to get away from us. Otherwise, we get into much more expensive repairs. We kind of had, when we did it, we knew the pavement section wasn't what we really wanted, but it was all we could afford at the time. The downside is we did pave the bike paths on both sides, so when you overlay it now, you're essentially adding another third of the cost to cover the bike lanes as well, so it's fairly expensive just to do a thinner overlay. So,
Darren, what you have on the screen here, because I can't see it, and you've gone rather quickly, doesn't make any sense to me, other than I think what you're telling, if I looked at this, it'd be saying, hey, these are when we're likely to have to repair them.
This is mainly just a snapshot of our payments all together.
This is how old payments are. And I'm with you. I can't read it. But so that I'm taking it that this is intended to be the introduction to our conversation today, right? There's nothing up there that you're going to not talk about later on in terms of if it's in our five-year calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm not going to worry about that one.
Okay. This is just introductions to payments, really.
So I want to stick with R36 for a minute. So we're going to get 15 years out of that road, and then we're going to need to go in and do a whole new overlay.
Yes, put a strengthening overlay on. It's not redo. It's just put an overlay on it. Part of it is we use the cold in place recycling process on that road, and counties are kind of seeing some issues with that now in the wheel pass. They're doing a research project right now, and we had NAS do some course for us this past year on R38 on the tracks to see what was going on. And I don't want to get into too much detail, but it's cracking from the top down, which means it's more of just a strength issue of the overlay, so it probably just needs more thickness.
All right, so and I'm not trying to overstate this, but we didn't have the money, or for whatever reason, we didn't quite put in the road there that we needed to put in, and so now we're going to go in 15 years later and beef it up. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And we are talking about R38.
South Displayer.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. And so it's number 7 on our list here of roads. Okay. Thank you.
We'll get to that in a second. And it's still just talking in generalities right now, annual pavement costs. I like to point this out mainly. I'd love to pave new roads, but I always caution you, down the road is going to catch up to us funding-wise. Technically, we need to be spending $1.8 million a year to maintain this current system we have, the 33 miles of PC, 166 HMA. The reality is we're getting in right now about $1.4 million per year to spend on the pavements, and we need that 1.8, so we're a little behind the eight ball right now.
Yep.
It kind of goes in cycles. That's kind of what happened to us when we had the bond. We got behind, and we had $8 million we needed it right now, or the pavements were falling apart. So just keep that in mind. Yep. Maintenance is a big issue with pavements as well as bridges. Just real quick, pavement condition. This is something that comes out of the RPA. Again, it's hard to see colors on this for some reason. But this is red. Red is bad. These are all cities from here on up. Cities do not have to have as smooth a pavement as counties because these are low-speed roads. So the red are the poor condition roads. Story County, we're doing pretty good compared to most counties. Polk County, for some reason, they overlay a lot. If it gets rough at all, they just put an overlay on it with the casino money they get. And Boone County has a lot of PC pavement roads. Maybe that's why it's a little bit. Otherwise, we're doing pretty good compared to other counties.
So, and it all looks blue to me, shades of blue up there.
See, so the darker Loris is in bad shape, and the kind of greenish is in fair shape, and the lavender is in excellent shape.
Thank you.
And Story County is second from the bottom.
Okay, thank you very much.
Totally completely different than on my screen. Paving that's in the program right now, my proposed program is shown here. This upcoming season, we're going to overlay West 190th, and we're going to do the other project is University, just that first mile down to 260th. And the rest is the projects that are in the program. So let's turn to the secondary roads needs here, sheet that I handed out. We'll start with the roads, and again, number one and number two are the two I just mentioned. Those will get done this construction season. Number three is E63 Collins. That's this stretch over here, the curvy stretch we have.
Right.
Again, that's just the straight overlay.
And it's held up pretty well over the 20 years, right?
Yeah, that... just had a 2-inch overlay, which we usually do 3, so it's really held up well, but it doesn't get that much traffic, so it's held up because.
And we're going to go in and do 2 or 3 this time?
This one won't be a 3.
Okay.
Make it last. Number 5, or list number 4, is 560th Avenue north of Highway 210. That is right here. Let me go down a couple screens. Do a separate screen. But that's north of Highway 210 right here. That'll be a cooperative project with the city of Huxley. They asked me to push it back 1 year into 2020.
Okay.
So they could get it programmed, and they're going to do the design on that. I'll check base with them again throughout this year to make sure they're moving forward with that, because that's going to be a big hit to our local budget. That will be all local dollars because of the funding swap. Did not allow us to put it on locally classified roads, unfortunately. So we're going to have to use our local funds to do this.
So, Garrett, is there a pool of money available that if the road is for economic development, that there's money available from the state? Are you aware of that?
Not from the state. That's kind of how we were able to bond when we did the wind turbine project. We're able to prove economic development in the area by doing those roads, so we're able to bond for it. Otherwise, you can't just go out and bond.
Right, but I think, and that's 100% accurate, but I think Loris is referring to there's some dollars from DOT that can tag along in certain cases.
So you're talking RISE funds?
Yes.
RISE, that is the name I was told.
Okay. Yeah, and that's, for the most part, directly tied to jobs, so it has to be kind of a job creation type of development.
But there's some talk with Huxley going after some RISE funding on this one as they look at a couple of opportunities in what's called the Blue Sky Common.
Right.
So the complexity with this stretch, and I'm just talking about the northern stretch of 560. So it's green on your map if anybody is paying attention. It's a shared project with Huxley. You've got the Heart of Iowa
bike trail, part of Iowa Nature Trail, crossing right there. We talked to Mike a little about that today.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, you know, that there's a huge curve in that road right there where it starts to cross that. And the discussion would be to try to make that not quite so dramatic. The tentative, not approved, but tentative understanding that I believe we currently have with Huxley is that they would fund one half of the project and we would fund the other half of the project, and if there wasn't any tag-along money, any RISE money or anything else coming along, that that would come off the top and both entities would still be splitting whatever was left. Where I think there's some possibility for some additional tag-along money, and what I mentioned to Mike today during our meeting,
uh-huh,
is where the bike trail crosses, trying to create a really favorable kind of situation there. For that, I think there might be some opportunities to bring some additional dollars in right there.
Okay.
And so let's just keep in mind that since we pushed this back a year, we got a little time to deal with it. And as you said this, Gary, but I want to make sure I heard it. We pushed it back a year because Huxley asked us to push it back.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So my next question on this trip is that, thank you, Rick, for putting out the green, and then there's a blue.
Yep.
Which, okay, so the amount of number four on your list in 2020 is only the green part, correct?
That's correct.
All right, thank you.
And just, there is with the RISE pot with the state that they break into city and county projects. A little difficult for counties to get those because the cities usually annex it before you do the project, then you have to use the city RISE fund. Barilla was done that way with some RISE funds, paving some Lincoln Way and turn lanes out by Barilla. So that's the last time we use those funds.
And what we're counting on here is the possibility of being able to kind of come at this from both sides. Since it's both a city and county project trying to get into RISE, if there's enough tag-along jobs in Blue Sky Commons to pull some of those dollars, that's what you've been hearing.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Back to number five. That's 220th Street, which is 13th Street Extension. Right here. I drew a picture of that right here. Right now I have it in 2021 because it's going to take some coordination with the city of Nevada because I'm not sure if they realize it, but they annexed both sides of the road on both of these, 600 and...
Oh, wow.
So
I thought that was half our project. That's their full project right there.
Yes. Wow. So we're going to have to coordinate that with them. It makes sense to do it all at the same time. So start that discussion with them, and there's also one bridge project right here that's in the under bridges that we'll probably do at the same time as the paving project, so that's also in 2021.
Super.
Number six, Hickory Grove Loop. That is really two projects because one's far in the market. Pointer batteries are dying. But the north-south stretch of the Hickory Grove Loop is far in the market, so that's a separate project. And then the loop around the lake, that's actually a locally classified, so we have to spend local dollars on that.
But this will be well after the Hickory Grove project conservation and DNR are doing to work on. Because what doesn't make any sense to me is for us to go in and do anything there while they're going to be bringing all the heavy equipment in and out. Let's let that heavy equipment do whatever damage it does and then go in and fix it.
Okay. Number seven is R38 that we talked about earlier. I did bump that up. Originally just had the south, Kelly South, but it's all starting to show that same age and concern that I think we want to just do it all while we're out there at the same time. Whenever you do a long stretch like that, it gets expensive, so it's $2.24 million to do that.
How does the 4,600 cars compare with other stretches? Is that as busy as any stretch we have?
Well, I think Lincoln Highway between Ames and Nevada was similar, if not a little. It was 5,500, I think.
But now losing that one,
it should be our highest.
This is our highest, okay. Yeah, so I just want to make sure that we are really clear with the public why we spent $6 million, you know, what is going to end up being 13, 14 years, but why we spent $6 million then, and now we're still going to have to go back in and spend money again.
Number eight is S-27 South. Picture of that here. Just similar deal. It was a cold-in-place project, so the wheel ruts are showing a lot of deterioration. We came back in just last year. It's the first time we did a crack filling. We've never done that before. Just to fill those cracks, to buy some time on this. Because once they get to this stage and the water gets in there and freeze thaw, it really starts to deteriorate fast.
So we were so excited a few years ago about this cold in place process. Now we moved on. Are we not going to use it anymore since we're seeing this deterioration?
Well, the Paving Association is still sold on it, and they're really pushing and researching hard this year because there's a couple counties that had some issues like this like within a couple of years. They're trying to figure out what. We're not seeing this on all of ours. There's a lot of different processes used in that cold in place. There's foamed asphalt that a lot of different types of asphalt, and so we just got to find the right one, I believe, and it still works fine. It's just this one isn't lasting as long as I would hope, but we still might get 20 years. Our 77 north of Roland was our first cold in place project ever, and we just overlapped that this past season, and it was 20 years old, so that's pretty much what we can expect out of them in about 20 years.
And are we saving enough doing it cold in place that instead of getting the 30 years that we would get, it's worth it to us?
Thank you. Yeah, it's. I thought we'd get maybe 25 out of it, and that's where I thought we'd really see the value. If we just get 20, it's about a wash.
Yeah, so why would you go ahead and do it once, spend the extra money now, but get 30 years?
Yeah. The idea of doing it is to stop that these cracks right here, the transverse cracks. They come back through so quickly, and by digging down that much further, it kind of slows that process down. And it's done that, but now we're seeing wheel path issues that we didn't see.
Yeah,
okay. So we're up to number 9, 530th Avenue. That's University. And this one has the two options, and I think we've pretty well decided we're going to go paving this stretch this year. So we either go 2 more miles down or we go 2 miles over at R38. So this is what we've added into the program at this point.
So is you've got this going to the west is Farm to Market, correct?
Going straight south.
Straight south. Okay, what will be is going west of Farm to Market Road?
That is not. So that's.
Okay, so you'll have two different funds. That decision.
Well, we're not going to go west. It was your.
Well, so we are going south for sure.
Well, where it is right now in the program is going south.
Well, I know.
We have the ability.
Well, that's.
The conversation we had a year ago is we're going to pave. It's University coming out of Ames. We're going to pave University south to 260th yet this year. That's done. That's happened. And then the conversation becomes, we said we could do one of two things. We could either send 260th, pave 260th over
to R38.
Or we could go straight south to the Kelly Blacktop. As I recall, and Darren, you help me if I'm missing, the disadvantage with going straight south to the Kelly Blacktop is we got some ground issues. There's some turns in the road. There's some elevation changes that make that a little harder road to design. But I think what we came to a year ago was it opens up a secondary route north and south, right? It allows people coming up 69 to now not all, come all the way into Ames on 69 and come over and come up to the University. It opens up some ground that I think would be potential development ground, which helps the city of Kelly, especially, helps Story County, helps the city of Kelly. We don't have that along 260th. It's all basically University-owned, and what's not University-owned is going to stay in ag forever. So it's a really nice ag road as is. And then the final thing that we didn't talk about a year ago, but I'll talk about now, we're already seeing that we've got plenty of traffic coming north and south between Ames and Slater. Why would we want to divert more traffic over onto that road? And so I sit here today and I say it makes sense to me that we would go all the way south to the Kelly Blacktop, but it does create some engineering challenges for Darren.
I looked at those a little more, and I'm thinking it's going to be a little easier than I originally thought.
Good.
The other thing we got to look at this summer is there's some major transmission lines with big power poles, but that's going both directions. So we're going to have that issue on both roads, but this has a large rural water line that we believe is going to have to be relocated, right? So we'll get some preliminary numbers on that. But, yeah, I think that's the better route to go with right now, straight south.
The assessment that we're talking about in terms of traffic, does it help traffic flows more to go south like this than it would to go west?
So it seems to me if you go west, you're only pulling people off of what I think of as South Dakota, pulling them over, which is not as tough a road for us as I think 69 coming north into Ames is, even though that's not ours, but gives people an alternate route to take.
It would. It's going to take some of that off of 69. Zumwalt, for some reason, gets quite a bit of traffic, and it, that's the only reason I want to go this direction, to relieve that some, but I don't think it's important enough to go
back. I would contend that it probably will still take some from Zumwalt, because you'll just come to the Kelly Blacktop and go right through, coming out of Slater, come up to Kelly, go over, and then just come straight north once you get through Kelly.
Yeah, it's whether the traffic wants to go through Kelly or not. And
yeah.
So where does the city stop, the county begin, in relation to the court and the Tesco? So when does the county, when you step into the county on that road?
Right where the pavement ends right now.
Okay, right where the pavement ends.
The third roundabout that Marty and I got to hear this weekend are not all that favorable for our ag traffic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is no love taking a 53-foot farm trailer.
They like the furthest north roundabout. They don't like the two smaller roundabouts.
Smaller and it has a raised curve. It doesn't have a slope curve, so trailers don't go well over a six-inch straight curve. It is. You have to look all rubber on the sides of the curve.
Thank you.
Yeah, there were some very strong feelings expressed.
So are we good, and we're not looking for approval today, but does the rationale for why we would have going south to Kelly,
right. Does
that make sense?
I left it in the determination in the sense that the only problem I had on going south was the fact that the engineering posed an issue in a year's intervening time. Darren's made feeling that it's not quite the hill to climb that he thought it was a year ago this time, correct?
Correct. And we did replace that box culvert, the main one down here, since I've been here. That's another advantage of the precast box culverts. You can just add sections and extend it out. So we have to do that, but not quite as far as I thought we'd have to.
No, it's a natural corridor on inflow into that part of Ames as it comes online. And that's I always had it in my heart that it would be a north-south road, but the conversation a year ago was it's an either-or.
It was an either-or. Last year we moved toward the north-south, and that's where I feel like we are right now.
Well, I would support the north-south paved project. And we're fortunate it's a farm-to-market road, no less.
Mm-hmm. So number 10 is that other option going to the west, and that's why it doesn't have a program number because it's not currently in the program. And number 11 is the last one that's in the program. That's 560th south of Highway 210. And that one I would like to discuss if we want to keep that in the program because of the funding issue that we have now with the swap. We cannot spend it on that road. So do we want to keep that in the program or remove it? Because essentially going to be $1 million of local funding.
$1 million, 1 mile west of the interstate with, at this point anyway, no real developmental prospects. I mean, all it's doing is giving those that are going back and forth to North Polk an option other than, you know, going 500 feet to get on the interstate.
And I do drive just about once a month, maybe twice a month now with Aging Resources, but I come up through Ankeny for a particular fast food restaurant. Anyway, and so I drive it, and it's not a big problem. I have to admit, in the winter, I make the little jog, okay, on pavement. But I can't see that where a lot of people would use that if we haven't gone to the north part. I mean, you know, if we haven't, if there's nothing done north of 210. Also, because I think
yeah, but we're doing the north of 210. So
okay.
The north of 210
but
is green.
Still, it's an awkward way to go. If you're going through to Huxley, if you're not going to stop at the Blue Sky, come and you know. So I don't see where the real benefit.
Half a mile to the east, you got interstate, and if you don't like interstate, you just go a mile to the west, and you got a brand new highway.
For me, it would be easy to pull this out of our 5-year. Keep a theoretical asterisk beside it that it is right out of our 5-year plan where we can always, I mean, we're talking about 2023 anyway, which is kind of a fictitious place to put something. How often do things truly move through from beginning to end? And so I think since it's local dollars, unless they
amend the way they're talking about that federal swap, I would suggest we pull it out for now with the caveat that if it becomes necessary, we'll take a hard look at putting it back in.
I think when we put it in, we were assuming the swap would allow us to pay it with that money in it.
I was picturing it as kind of one project. Even though it's two separate projects, in my mind, I was picturing it as one project. And once you break them apart, it's hard to justify. For me, it's hard to justify that
southern needs. And once again, I sat there looking at what the map of Huxley looks like now. I talked with the mayor from Huxley 2 weeks ago as far as the expansion of their city limits. Their community is already talking openly about annexation. So I would like to think that maybe in their planning that they would move in that direction anyway, as they're trying to put themselves on the interstate.
Yep.
It's a natural corridor for the city to want to have a frontage to the interstate, and maybe it would turn into a local project for them to do, as opposed to us providing the pavement and then they build towards it or annex towards that. So I agree on the asterisk side of things. It's one of the, there's a compelling argument that we could have made that it would say we could land something as far as an industry or something. I would be okay.
So I would suggest we keep it numbered, whether it goes up or down in the numbers. We just don't leave, put a year beside it.
Okay? You can do that.
So you guys get what that means. If it's on this list, it kind of becomes a wish list. It's something we're thinking about, but it's not in our program.
Keep in mind, too, in case you haven't been down there, this stretch north to 210 is already paved up to about right here.
Right.
Yeah.
So these are kind of two separate projects anyway, so it's not like we're just missing out on
plumbing. But in Polk County, this would abut pavement.
Correct. Okay. Polk County paved up the county line, which they typically do. They pave most everything.
What was the justification? You were probably here on the S-27 extension to pavement in Polk County. Why did they move towards that?
That was a very similar situation.
That's what I'm saying, but what was the rationale at that time?
That's in with the Polk County pavement. Okay. That one, there isn't as many, you know, parallel pavements in that area, so it made a lot more sense.
Okay. Alright.
Okay. Now we're kind of moving on to the pavement wish list. Here's a map. The yellow shows all the wish list payments. They're the ones that don't have years on left for a program year. So the big ones, we'll probably move that 560th into the wish list or put an asterisk by it, but like Rick said, to me, I wish we could spend swap money on South S Avenue South and Nevada, but that's not going to be available either. So that'd be strictly locally funded. I'll scope down through them here. This is the Huxley one we've already talked about. University, we've already talked about. This is North Ames. This is basically for 180th. It's hard to see there, but that goes through some really hilly terrain. That'd be a very difficult one to pave, so that's why it's got such a high dollar value on it. This one will probably get done for us. This is the old drive-in theater, Lincoln Way. Highway 30 down here at Ames. You can see the paint lines there. Ames is essentially built out to here already. They plan to, I think, come on through and go on up.
In fact, that was part of the discussion when all of the llama farm for Valencia,
right.
They're talking about bringing that in, is getting that all paid. Can we go back before we move on?
Yep.
Go back to 180th.
180. Okay.
Yeah. So this is think Gilbert to I-35, right? Figuring out how to move people from Gilbert to I-35. And I'm not saying it needs to be part of our 5-year program or anything like that, but
I'm trying to visualize this in my mind. I'm going north on 69,
right.
Okay, and I'm past Ada Hayden.
Oh, yeah.
But then I get to 190th. I'm going further then,
yep,
up to
180th.
But I'm trying to think about what's at that corner, because you go too far, you're at 170th, and you take the right to the Hort Farm, or the left, you're going into
Gilbert.
Right.
So
I'm trying to think what's there.
This is straight right before that. This is what...
Is this where
there?
Buckleberry Farms is? We would take the right to Buckleberry Farms. There's a sign there. Sorry, it's a boarding
facility. No, this is not a part of the county on that road from there.
Yeah.
That's
what I mean. Sure. Okay.
Goes all the way through. We've got a new bridge out here. And it's the reason, so it's really huge elevation changes coming down through there, right? Peterson Pit is right off of 180, right?
Okay, thank
you. Does that help?
It helps exactly.
But here's the reason that I think this is one that it's important for us, our future board supervisors, to keep in front of them, is there is no good way right now from North Ames, Gilbert, over to I-35. There's not a good way. And the reality is, really the only good pathway that I see is either 180th or 190th, and if it's 190th, you got to figure out how to get south of 180th, tying into Dayton Road,
and take out.
I mean 180th or 170th, tying into 180th, and then Dayton Road would get you to back onto 190th, where you can get on the interstate.
Talking about what's the traffic up there? I mean, is this a road that is on a traffic basis? I mean, you're sitting there talking about amenities and what's around there. I guess I know where we're talking now, but
I'm showing 240 vehicles a day, and that's usually counted in the summer. And what that is a lot of kids go out to Peterson Pit that direction.
Yeah.
But it also is a cut across, especially since we did that Skunk River Bridge. It gets more cut across traffic through there, so it's a little of both.
And, well, it is one of those that you could see, if that were ever paved, it would reduce traffic on Riverside.
Yeah.
You see a lot of traffic shift to there if we ever got it paved. And again, I'm not suggesting that this become the number one priority of the wish list. I'm just saying we need to keep our eye on this just because of traffic patterns and the reality of growth out there in Franklin Township right now and what's happening. Kind of on that whole 190th, 180th corridor, what's going to be happening through there over the next few years.
I understand this was tried about 25 years ago, and especially in this area, this road intersection, the terrain's really bad. It takes some considerable right-of-way to cut those hills back, and landowners did not want to sell at all, so they dropped it.
Right.
So that might be an issue again if we ever decide to go that route.
Did you speak to the cost of the bridge? I mean, you say you got to hear in your comments, new bridge may increase.
Well, we've already done the new bridge.
Okay.
That's what that's referring to. It has the new bridge in place already.
Yeah, that was a cool bridge that we replaced, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, I think it's been longer than that.
That's okay.
Now the road to drive.
Then I'd like to go to 13 before we leave it, the Boone County line.
Yes.
Okay, which we're talking about the Trinitas. Okay.
Right.
But
right,
I believe tonight, if the Ames City Council is going to de-annex that area, that's on the agenda tonight.
Yep.
So then, would not that road come back to be a county road? Because you had indicated, well, the city, we thought
the city would be.
Lincoln Way is already a city road. It doesn't look like it because it's not in the city limits.
Yeah.
It used to be DOT had Lincoln Way, and they turned it over to the city instead of the county. I don't know why that happened, but it did.
Okay.
So that is already a city road. This is gravel, and we have a small bridge here that we were hoping was going to get replaced as part of the Trinitas, but it did not. But so we would, some of the gravel might refer back to the county if they did annex over that far.
Okay, that's why I was thinking that it's going to come back to ours. Yeah, they're de-annexing because twice the city turned down housing development plans for that, and per the annexation agreement, that if they could not get the city to approve,
reverts back into
reverts back.
Okay. Yep.
Okay, that takes us up to 5/10 is number 14. I would have liked to have done this year because we're overlaying West 190th because we just did this box culvert project down here, and we're overlaying this. It's already paved, but pavement ends here where it goes back to the subdivision. This is gravel. The problem is that we've had horrible frost boils the past 5 years on this road, so I hate to just overlay it. I think we'll end up with a mess.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't do it this time. So you may get some questions, why aren't we extending this overlay when we do it this summer? That's why. We can't just go overlay a gravel road that's in bad shape. It takes some major regrade before we overlay that. And it really doesn't go much further. We can't pave through these sharp, these are really sharp curves up here.
Right.
We'd have to straighten out that curve and everything. But it's on our wish list. There's some new homes in this area.
Everybody good with where that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Gilbert, I'd like to drop this one off our list at some point. This goes out to the Hort Farm. We regraded this road a couple years back, narrowed it up so we could maintain it better as a gravel road. We're starting to see traffic kind of drop off. It used to be our highest travel gravel road. It was up to 500 at one point, just students going out to the Hort Farm. And that's dropped off.
So there was a movement at one point in the previous administration at Iowa State to talk about doing this and then contribute some of the funding. I haven't heard anything like that. So I would suggest that this be one of those that maybe we slide down our list but still keep on the list for another year with no time frame, but just keep it in front of the board.
Number 16, it's just one I receive requests on. I'd like to show them to you if I get requests. North of Story City, it's gravel. They'd like that paved out to Highway 69. I believe Jensen Construction has a lot of land. They store stuff out there. He may have been one that requested that. 17 is R77 extension. Marty, is kind of your project you recommended, and I understand why. We've got a kind of a bottleneck over here at the railroad and Nevada. It's hard to get through. This is why it probably isn't paved. This is the floodplain.
Right.
It's kind of a swamp. It'd be a hard one to get through, and it'd be expensive, but it'd be a great thing to have.
It's just a natural funnel from east and west traffic that you would move away from S14 north-south access.
Yeah.
Because we paid $600 to the south of this. We did a connection.
Sure.
What is this? This is a connector to what we've already done. Okay. This is a connector to the 220th project that we're talking about,
right,
with both the city and Nevada. So this is just, you know, it's almost like a Lego project. You're sitting here and saying, and it's just like, once again, the city of Nevada's qualm was that you have a lot of semi-traffic coming down S14 because the co-op elevator Roland does have rail access. They take corn, whatever they take in, they move it to Nevada to put it on rails.
Right.
Okay.
And so that is creating traffic issues there. This is just one of the natural extensions. You stand down there in the corner of 600 and 220th, right, and you look north, and it's just like, well, that's Roland up there, and it's 3.5 miles.
Straight ahead.
And but that's why.
That floodplain is why.
That's why.
Yeah. And my question would be, Darren, if we took what we're talking about doing with 13th Street, right now you got stopping right there at the edge of Nevada, and I think we're visualizing that it would go ahead and turn and go south on 600. What if we extended it all the way across? What is that, T or?
Yeah, that's T.
That's T. What would happen if we extended all the way across to S14 and you gave ourselves a true route north of the railroad tracks, north of the UP? Right, you got the underpass where it goes under on S14, and then you could hit that northern route. What happens there?
The difficulty would be these tight. These are both really tight curves.
Yeah.
You couldn't pave them like that. You'd have to straighten them out, and then it's a really steep grades around this hill through the culvert.
Yep.
You have to flatten that out quite a bit.
It's unfortunately there's a new bridge, but the topography does make it. Just where if you drive the road, it's just that's almost virtually 90 degrees.
It is, yeah.
All right.
I slow down. If you go that way. If I'm going the back route because there's a train and I forgot.
It would be nice just to pull traffic away, keep rural traffic in the rural areas.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Southwest Avenue, discussed that one already. That had some importance with the interchange plan that I haven't heard much about lately over back in Nevada. So if that ever happens, that's going to create more pressure on this. And we had some developers in here last year that are developing some land over on Country Club that thinks it's going to add traffic to Southwest as well. So we need to keep this one on our wish list.
And I would actually say that this one stays on the wish list, and maybe this might be the first one on the wish list that I see that rolls up on the wish list rather than down. So there's a couple that I feel like we talked about that stay on the wish list, but maybe they roll down in the wish list. This was one of those that I think doesn't roll into the five-year plan, but it moves up a little on our wish list.
How would you say impacted the Highway 30 interchange plan? I'm now trying to see the map for the proposed right now by the DOT. So how would it impact?
They were going to cut off access to S-14, so northbound would have had to come over here to go eastbound on Highway 30.
Okay.
So instead of doing, S-14's right here. Sorry. So they would probably cut across and try to do that instead of go all the way down.
Or the answer is there's nothing in the current DOT plans for this. It's the previous ones that kind of got done and then got pulled back at the last minute.
Thank you.
Yeah. And lastly, 505th, Cameron Estates. Again, we've just closed this bridge. It takes a little pressure off of this. They're not probably going to get as much dust complaints for the new development. But when this went in, we told them to work with the neighbors and possibly look at some private funding to fund that. But we can leave it in as a wish list project if you'd like.
So I see this one as coming off as a wish list. Mm-hmm. Why would the county spend money to pave a dead end road?
Right. Especially almost $500,000.
So, Darren, I would suggest, just for me, that this is the one that could come off even the wish list.
Okay, we'll do that. And the last one took care of itself, north of Huxley. Huxley annexed out to the new Irons.
If we just keep it on the list long enough, eventually a city will annex
it. Iron Bridge, I think this one's
probably an aggressive plan, but wishful, hopeful plan.
Right. Any questions on roads? So that gets us to the end of roads. Any questions? Is there anybody who's not comfortable with what we did here? So we only took one road that had a date decided and moved it back into the wish list. We didn't pull anything up. And then we gave Darren, as I see it, we gave Darren the ability to reorganize the wish list portion as he sees fit.
This is a question for Marty. Okay. Marty, just as we look at the plan and what we've got on, even the wish list, whatever, it still seems to be western part of the county. A lot of it's on the western part. All right. So is there are there some roads on the eastern part other than the Collins, the one we talked about during, down by Collins, that would be of benefit? You know,
I would start the question off by asking Darren, what is the traffic count from 210 south on 680th to where it connects to Northeast 112th Street in Polk County? Because that's been, actually that is kind of a little bit of a tweak in the Maxwell area, because what you have, and it's on Larry Jacobson lives right on the corner right there, and he'll tell you he's got traffic all day, and he does. You know, it is, it's 2 miles from Highway 65 back, and you turn south, and you go like 2 or 3 miles, I think it's 2 miles, gets you to pavement. It is the same argument we had with the same discussion we had with 560th and Huxley. This is I don't know if it's a farm to market road. I don't know what it is, but I would be interested to see what the traffic count on that, because I suspect it's a little up there.
Okay.
And to that answer, I would start there.
So 680th all the way south in the county is where you're going about?
We're only up from 210 south.
Okay.
It becomes a connected road, same logic that we would apply over to the Huxley area. I would turn you back to there.
Got it.
So what is that? So that's Polk County and Jasper County immediately south of it, right? That's the Polk-Jasper line actually hit us at 680. What is, when you leave the county, is that paved road there?
You're going in on Northeast 112 is, I believe, the Polk County.
That's 670th.
670th?
In Polk County's paved.
Okay.
Okay,
670. And that's the one you intend to be talking about.
That's it, okay.
We've already got 650th.
That's reflected.
Which is S-27.
Uh-huh.
670th is 150 vehicles a day, where 680th is 35.
Okay, then I'm talking about, I'm sorry. Let me transpose the discussion to 670th.
Okay.
You say that again, number again?
150 vehicles a day.
What's that tell you? Let me ask you, your expertise, what's that say?
Well, we start getting to the 200s, kind of our tipping point where we start thinking about paving, so it's getting there.
Is it a farm to market road?
I don't think
I have that map on me.
It's there you go, Loris. There's my answer, and that's where I tell you you should look. And he's saying that you're under the cusp of getting to the point where the traffic count, traffic patterns reflect. We probably should be looking there. And it connects into pavement. It's not going. It's not a road to nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So, Darren, does it create any real work for you and Tyler if we put that as the last item on our wish list?
No.
So can we add 670th south of 210 onto our wish list? It's just at the very bottom of our wish list.
Sounds good.
Well, I think it would give comfort to the fact that the people that have done the outreach to me, because it's more of an ag component or a residential component, that they know the traffic's there. They both are part of that story, and they witnessed that story. And they were just wondering, as they see the success stories around the county, what about us?
And they're talking about housing down in that area. They're talking about adding housing in three or four of those communities.
Well,
so we'd like them all to work in Story County, but just in case somebody, you know, that there's some traffic.
Of course, that's a very good point, because where the proposed additional housing is on the east side of town, which would be a mile and a half to 2 miles from this road going south. So I guess without even thinking about that, very good. That's a good point.
Okay. Thank you, Darren.
Yep. I'll double check where the farm market road is in that area. Okay. It's a big factor.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to bridges. You know the bridge story. The bottom is the main thing. The federal bridge funding is $341,000 we get a year. So you just kind of see nationally, I don't consider them the most dangerous bridges. They're dangerous if you do not follow the load postings, but if you follow load postings, the Washington Post considered them dangerous, but you can see the darker areas are the areas of the country that have the issues with the structurally deficient bridges. So that's interesting.
Well, how old is that map? It doesn't say when it was, is that a yearly refresh?
2 years ago.
Okay.
When they got the numbers. And then this is an old version of the age of our bridges, so I updated that.
Like it.
You can kind of see it push those middle ones to the left a little bit. And I didn't think that told the true story. I categorized them in 10-year increments, so I broke it into fives, and I think that tells the story much better.
I like the 5-year increments.
So this reflects through last year.
Correct.
Trend lines, right?
Yeah, I like, one, it shows we started to dip off, where we started to really struggle with funding, and then we got the reduced, or the fuel tax increase,
yep.
And
we saw it the right way.
Wood bridges still have a lot. There's 135 there. We've replaced a few of them on this sheet since I showed you this last year, but we still have a lot of wood bridges, unfortunately. These are bridge replacements in the last 20 years. The blue ones are the replacements. The yellow ones are ones we did a pretty substantial repair to. So we've hit a lot of them since I've been here for 20 years. Trying to extend life out of them, doing splices with concrete. Did a lot of those this year and years past. But first thing I do with bridges is look at the farm to market route. We want to have a good farm to market system. This was in 2012 what the posted bridges on the farm to market route looked like. And the yellow ones are the ones we put in the program. That's what it looked like in 2016. It reduced it. And then we had four in the middle that were in the program. And then it really dropped off in 2018, except we added a couple of new ones. These are brand new that weren't in there. If we didn't add those new ones, we really would have been making some ground. And the old ones are the ones that we have in the program. So we're putting it in anyway. Still have 70 load posted bridges out there. Those are the triangles. So let's start in with number one. Sandhill Trail Bridge would be just south of 260th right here. First of all, this shows all the bridges that are in the program, and the yellow ones are the ones that are in FY19, which would be the first year of the program. So we have 6-7 bridges in 2019 that are yellow, and the rest of them are the ones that are in years 2 through 5. So number one, Sand Hill Trail. This is the one we had the issues of purchasing the right-of-way on, but we did get that accomplished. So this will happen this year, assuming letting goes well through the DOT in March. This had some steel beams underneath that were, the web and the flange were actually rusted apart, so they were just kind of flopping on each other. It was so bad, I've never seen it quite that bad before. So really needed attention. Number two is Lincoln 10 up north of Ziering. We've got a lot of bridge issues up that way. There's some really bad pile conditions.
Isn't this one of your low traffic bridges?
Oh, yeah, these next two.
Yeah.
But there's no other way to get there.
No. We kind of went through that whole area last year, and part of this is looked at that area as a group and decided a good route to replace bridges, so we added these few in there. This one is just old, 100 years old. When you start seeing the steel, you know, you got problems, and the back wall has got major cracks in it, so it's not going to last too much longer. We've got this one on a three-month inspection cycle, so we have to inspect it every 3 months to keep it open. Because you don't load post concrete and steel bridges like this, there's no real method to do that. So when you see posted bridges, those are mostly our wood bridges.
Right.
These, you just keep an eye on until they break. There's no way to reduce the load. You can, but
you got that in this construction season.
Correct.
Okay.
These are all 2018s. This one, the same one here, just wanted to point out, we have this one on the one I want to change later in the program, but it has the same issue. We have a skew with the road so extreme, and you try to put a box culvert in, it gets a really long box culvert. If you square that up with the road, you'd probably cut that almost in half the cost. But because it's so skewed, this one we changed to a bridge, so it's a three-span bridge now with the two piers in the middle. It'd actually be a little cheaper than that box culvert situation. Number four is Collins 2, just another old 100-year-old structure. 2018, they're all 2018s.
These are the kind of bridges, if you're in the newer farm equipment, you've got these hitch bridges.
Yeah.
You're seeing the width of your equipment. You're driving around these. You cannot go transport. You can drive your pickup. You can drive a semi. You can't drive a combine. You can't drive a tractor. This is what you want to get rid of.
We're constantly straightening out these steel railings. They get hit all the time and just bent over, and we can't keep the object markers on the corners. It's a struggle for us. This is just one of those old ones with the high concrete walls, and it had washed out underneath because it's so deteriorated, and it sucked all the gravel out through a hole. Number six, we're first one in 2019 is number six. Indian Creek 5 is one of our load posted wood bridges. This is the one I wanted to get to that I do want to make some changes to. It's 675th. Again, it's one of those that has the high concrete walls, but it's the skew that's a problem. It's an old arch.
This is a historic one.
It's not historic.
Well,
this is on 675th.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't Plunkett's.
All right.
I got a picture of that one later. But
okay. No.
The issue is the water's actually going underneath the structure. It's so bad. And there's no way to repair these old arches. They last forever, but once they get to the point where they crack really bad, there's no really way to repair them. And you can see how steep or extreme the skew is coming in. So we have to do a really long box culvert to get it in there. So we were at the point of having to do a bridge, and that bumped it up to $350,000. And here's where we are with that right here. And this is another one of those, you say, why are you doing that once it's not load posted with the triangle? It's because it's a concrete structure, you don't really load post those. That's why it doesn't have a triangle. This one is in the program as well, because this is the farm to market route, which might answer your question, Marty. 680 is down here, might be a farm to market as well, because I know it is up here. So here's 670 that you got talking about paving, but that might be
the first mile local, the second mile's local.
Oh, really? So this is local?
670th?
I think farm to market comes up, you all go over, and then goes north on 680th. Is that right?
Okay.
Is that right, Kyle?
It goes over to Maxwell.
It goes to the west.
So 6 seconds, and then over west a mile and a half.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so that's your farm market route? Okay. Okay, but back to the bridge issue. So this is in the program as well. That's the same stream. So if we replace that one, we kind of got, it's only a half mile in between. This is the one I want to swap that out for. This is the posted wood bridge. We can get that designed fairly quickly. It'd be an easy one. I'll just swap it out in the 2019 program for this one. We can no longer get over this one with our motor grader. Anything under 20 in that first number, we start having issues getting over with our motor grader. So that's what I would like to propose. We'll still be doing the same number of bridges in 2019, but I'll just add this one into the program.
We'll
either take that one out or push it back. I think I'd...
So I understand that we can't load post a concrete bridge. Can we restrict a concrete bridge?
So we could load post it. We can always load post, but there's no way to calculate that load posting. The wood bridge thing.
So all I'm trying to get to is, it seems to me that what we don't want is this archway starts to get really old. We don't want the big heavy equipment going across there, right?
I'll tell you, it's kind of interesting what we had to do last year. The Fed said we had to start figuring out a way to load post these. So what we're doing now is driving a fully loaded tandem truck over these and see if they take the load. That's their acceptable method. We can do that on the one you're talking about, the historic one by Plunkett's.
Yeah. You're a great guy, aren't you?
Those arches are really strong.
Okay.
So we did have a big concern, but it's more of a fact you can just walk under and see it. It pretty much falls down before a load will.
With the hipping of the bridge, you're really only talking about snowmice traffic. That's the weight issues. Because you're not going to put in the traditional
ground. Right. Well, and so my thing is, go back to the map, Darren. So we know we're replacing the bridge just a half mile northeast, right? We know that's a farm-to-market route. We know we need to go down to the southeast and replace that one that's load-posted. It just seems to me that we need to try to get by without doing anything to this bridge for as long as possible. But that, to me, means doing whatever we can to reduce the traffic and the amount of the weight of the traffic that's running across it.
Because we are at 20 vehicles a day
right.
on this road. It only bumps up to 40 over here, but it's still twice the amount of traffic on the farm market. But we'll look at any type of repair option we can possibly do on that to buy us some time. But now I think we'll just drop it out of the program. I think it's too much to spend on it.
For 20 cars with a reasonable alternate route.
Correct. And this one is not in the program at all right now, so it will be a brand new project. So I'll swap those out.
All right. So what's the name of that one that we want to put in the program?
That will be Collins 19.
And that replaces Indian Creek 13.
Correct.
And any guesstimate on what kind of cost? You said it's a fairly easy. Is it a box culvert that you're dropping in?
It will be. I'd estimate a little high. 140 is what I would estimate.
Okay.
So I will make that change. That takes us to number 8. 290th, the Palestine 11 Bridge. It's not a very good photo of it, but it's the Sortepco Wood Bridge. Number 9, Sherman 33. This is the one you had asked that we add one more project into the FY19, get one more bridge done. This is one we added in for that.
Okay.
Number 10, Palestine 13. This one is a federal aid funded bridge. I'll get to that a little later. The whole funding swap and this fiscal constraint issue delayed this one a year. This is another arch. This one I do not believe is historic either. It's missing a big section that they replaced with wood, so it's an interesting structure. Like I say, those just kind of go until they completely just fall apart.
And unfortunately, that's where we are.
Yeah. This is the Sandhill Trail Bridge, number 11. This one, you can see we've already done some pilot repairs to try to buy some time on it, and it's got some erosion problems we continually have with this bridge, so it's time for a new bridge. This is our next federal aid bridge, number 12. This we had to bump back additional year because of that fiscal constraint issue I'll get to again later. That's a $600,000 bridge. It's a really high bridge. It's narrow. It's probably the narrowest bridge we have in the county. And it has an issue with the stream, too. It really bends the steep, high bank, so we're going to have to move the bridge this direction a little bit, bring it down. So this is Ballard Creek. This has a ton of erosion on Ballard Creek.
Can we not straighten out, I mean, I don't know what the flood plain, maybe Leanne would have a heart attack hearing me say this, but can we not straighten out Ballard Creek a little bit right there to the west?
We have a percentage. We can't go over 20% reduction in the stream length, and that's, you get to that pretty quickly.
It looks like the stream wants to be going more straight, and it's just not.
It streams just do that over time.
Is that a meander?
Yeah.
So what it means to me is that we better be paying attention to these meanders close to our bridges and straightening them out before they get big enough that we can't straighten them out.
Right. You're just usually way out on private property, so you have to get permission to do it. But
that thing has rechannelized itself.
Yeah. I mean,
you can tell just on this.
Just where it was.
Where it was.
Right.
Where it now is.
That used to run, when that bridge was put in, that stream ran straight underneath it.
I probably shouldn't show you this, but I just yesterday we noticed on this one, this stream went straight down and over. Just in the past year or two, this, something's happened here.
Something's happened here.
Not by how. So, might have to tell the end about that one.
That's like a 40-degree angle.
So this skew was really, really bad. And, anyway, that one got corrected, so it happens. Not by us. Number 14 is back up north of Zeering in that area, Lincoln 1. You can see the condition of the bridge deck underneath. You can see through it. You can see the steel underneath. Same on the other side of the bridge. Another one of those with the steel railing on top.
Low traffic,
but whenever you see a bridge like this, they're fairly long, so it's an expensive replacement.
Yep.
This is Grant 4. This is the one on 13th Street that we'll do as part of the paving project, if we do the project.
Okay.
This was interesting. It's a really small box. I think that took all the flows at one time, and it wasn't nearly enough, so they added a bridge right next to it.
Huh.
Back up in Lincoln again, same type of bridge. Number 18. On the second sheet. Still in 2021. Number 19, this is DD11, which is kind of raising this, the district's kind of wanting more done again, so we may have some district meetings about 11 again, but Rick, you'll probably remember there was a lot of discussion about this bridge the last DD11 meeting. They didn't feel it was big enough, and we kind of told them we put it in the program for replacement at least. The bridge does have some considerable issues. It's on intersection of two paved roads, D18 and S14. We have overload permits. We have an issue getting through this area because of this bridge, so it is probably time to get it replaced anyway. Not posted, but we can't get the oversized loads over it. Number 20 is down in Collins 1. Collins 7. It's hard to see that the piling are really rotted on this structure. It's a fairly long structure. Collins 7, number 21. Grant 10. Now we start getting into the number 23. You'll see in the, under the length of miles, it says new. From then on down, all the new ones are the ones that are brand new projects to the program.
Okay.
There in 22, your comments said, and maybe this reflects something you've heard, but what last thing I heard, Derek, you might know. It says DOT is going to close access to 590. It's the last thing I heard, they weren't.
Yeah, nothing formal. What you heard was Scott Dockstetter stopped me and asked to have a meeting, which we've not had to this point. But as we, and I can't even remember where we were, but it was somewhere standing up having a brief conversation, and he indicated to me, we appreciate your questions, I want to meet with you, and then I want to come before the board. And then he just gave me a couple quick snapshots, and one of them was, we're not going to close 190 at any time in the foreseeable future. So don't take that as some kind of official lingo that we got. That's just a conversation.
Just try to jump to the comments to see what Darren put in about any place.
As far as Darren knows, there's still the original DOT plan that we offered questions to, and there's been no formal response to those questions.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up, because this need to replace the bridge there.
Well, this bridge is kind of contingent on, it's got more life in it, but we've got to get it replaced before they close it, otherwise they have no access when we replace it at some point.
Okay.
But that's why it doesn't, it's probably got another 10, 15 years in it at least, but if they're going to close access, we got to replace this before they close access.
Yes.
Yes. So number 23 is our first new one. Rick, this is the one that you were getting some calls about, because down by Jasper County line, there's multiple 10-ton posted bridges that are having issues get through the area. The piling are really rotted through this one, and it's got this really long, large retaining wall structure holding. There's a big tile outlet that comes out through here is why that's there. But that's what this bridge is.
Was the county constructed abutment? The county built that?
This?
Yeah.
I don't believe so, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know where.
We don't typically build things like that. They're usually farm structures. Farmers put in to protect their land.
Okay.
So there's another bridge down in this area right on the Jasper County line that, as I understand, it's a Jasper County bridge, but we would fund half of it, and it's somehow in their program. Is that accurate?
Correct.
But so that will never show up in our program. We're just going to write them a check?
That is in our local. I put it in at the last minute on our local 2019. It shows on that local construction sheet.
Okay, but it won't show in this on this page.
It shows on the map here on the five-year program map.
Okay.
I should probably put it on this sheet, too, to mention it.
Okay.
So it'll be 2019 is where it would land. So that's a good point. I did leave that one off, so I added that at the last second.
Is that the 340th Street bridge replacement way down in the yellow lane?
On the map, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. Collins 34, COL 34.
Yep.
Yep, good point. I'll add that. And so that kind of pushed this back to 21 since that was happening.
Right.
But I still want to get it in the program.
Yep.
Next one, Howard 3. This is our worst mile in the county as far as bridges go. This is on the county line, Hamilton County Story. This is R77 north of Roland where it meets the county line. We have four bridges on this mile.
Wow.
Somehow it ended up our mile under our maintenance agreement. We lost the flip of the coin on this one. Anyway, these are all 80-foot long bridges, these three. And this is a really old truss structure where these two are the newer concrete style. So these are fairly decent bridges. This one's getting to the point we cannot go over the mortar grader any longer. And this is just a small wood bridge, and that's the one we're putting in right now because we got to guarantee access to this house,
right?
This direction. Yeah, this is probably one I'm going to start adding to our wish list for bridges, meaning probably closer in the future.
And then, so then you got a resident, what, just down on the right?
Got one here, and you got one on the.
So you had to replace those other two bridges at some point, but not that one, the last one.
It's a large stream. It just meanders back and forth across the road. It made a very costly mile of road for us. Number 25, Sherman 12. Number 26 is just south of Ames. This is Ken Merrill Road. Our gravel road comes off of Ken Merrill here. We have a little wood bridge there. It's load posted. Number 27 is another new bridge added in Warren 6. It's kind of S14 extension just south of the Hamilton County line. Another one that causes this oversized loading permit issues it's kind of a bottleneck for us because of the load posting. 28. This one, Tyler, you took that picture for me with your cell phone. So it was a concrete structure, and it was extended with like a wood bridge, and the where they connect is completely falling apart. We had a big hole open up right in the middle of the road this summer. We had to bridge that and fix it, but it's in really bad shape, so I added that in the program. Number 29, Palestine 15, again, it's on the farm market route. That's kind of why it made it in the program. Again, you can see the rotting starting in the caps, and you can't really tell how bad the piles are, but they're starting to get bad. It's just getting aged. 30, Sherman 24, new one. 31, the same, our typical wood bridge. 32, same on 31 there, picture of wood piling. 32, 110th Street, Warren 7. Again, I'm close to wood bridge. This one we've done some piling repair to in the past, about 10 years ago. It's lasted us a while. This design we've replaced a lot in the past few years. It's this concrete precast structure. Wasn't a good design. Had wood structure underneath, and for some reason the back walls always tip in on them, and those are hard to repair. But that wasn't a good design back 50, 60 years ago. This is the biggest one in the program, Howard 33, 150th Street, Skunk River Bridge. Getting real close to the point of not being able to take our motor grader over it. I think they still do right now, but it might not last too much longer. But that'd be $1 million bridge to get over the Skunk. And then Milford 8. That's a small structure. I think we might be able to replace that one with pipes.
So just on a bridge like this. So we're going in now with culverts, and we're biking our program with the culverts. We've got some counties that are using that company out of Oklahoma that brings an old rail car to do one like this. Have you ever talked to any of your counterparts who are using the rail cars and what the advantages, disadvantages are with those?
There's very few counties that do that. There's one in particular, Buchanan County, because he just loves them and he doesn't allow them that way. A lot of counties have concerns liability-wise, and we don't know how long they're going to last.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of... He's got his own bridge crew. It takes your own bridge crew to do something like that, and it's pretty intensive work to get something like that into a usable bridge structure. There's two things. You can use the railroad flat car to make an actual bridge, or you can take the tankers and they cut those up into big pipes.
Oh.
So I don't think we'd have the cover to do it on this. You got to have plenty of cover room to get
Pump over the road. Yeah, and I was talking more about the flatbed. And so I've been enjoying doing the culverts, and we seem to be getting good bang for our buck in putting in the concrete culverts, and so I'm not suggesting a change. I just want to make sure we're looking at everything.
Have you heard of anybody else besides Buchanan doing those? I haven't. I think
several of my counterparts down at the supervisors meeting 2 weeks ago were talking about using this and how it was a program. They were referencing this company out of Oklahoma that I think sells it almost turnkey, where they come and they put it in place and they do everything. And I asked them if it was cheaper for them than putting in culverts, and they said, yeah, a lot cheaper. And so I just thought I'd ask you the question.
That sounds more like the tanker pipe type situation. And that we were talking that Hamilton County line one, possibly doing that up there when we share that cost on that one. But that's probably what they were talking about.
Well, just next time you guys have a big meeting, just ask a question for me, just so you have more information.
Oh, sure. Brian loves to talk about those flat car bridges. He gets a chance to, so a lot of supervisors have probably heard about it, but I think he's the only one that doesn't. Takes a lot of groundwork to build the abutments internally, and we don't have that crew here. Most counties don't, takes a crane. That brings me to the end of the ones that are in the program.
So I just want to point out, that's over a 6-year period, right, because we show this year plus the 5, that's 34 34 bridges. That is, that's almost six a year. And at six a year, we can work our way through. The number I use is 282, and that number depends on how big a span you're talking about, but roughly 280 bridges. But that would get us down under 50 years to be able to work our way through our system if we can maintain that kind of pace. And what we see from the graph here that Darren gave us, we just need to have more years that look like more five-year bars that look like the last 5 years, and we'll be getting back on track.
I just point out, I would probably call it 30. I think there's probably four of them in there that I'd consider smaller than what we classify as a bridge. So 30 still. Yeah,
absolutely.
A good number.
I was listening on the way into work here, I believe it was Friday, discussion as far as moving the federal gas tax up. That would have, I know we're talking about, we have the additional dollars with the state, but with the federal, would that contribute any to our contribution if you saw the Fed gas tax go up?
It would. That'd be the funding swap money. That's what it's federally money now. We're getting that swap to local dollars come next year. That's what that money would come from. They talked many years about doing that, kind of in line with the state doing it, and we kind of beat them to the punch on it. But that's kind of what I talked about at the Farm Bureau meeting. I think that's where the whole infrastructure program they're talking about now is to incentivize states to raise theirs, and so the federal government doesn't have to, and then they'll kind of give you some of this money on top of it.
Right. That's that fictitious $1.5 trillion that we heard about, that's really $200 billion.
Yeah, and $1.5 trillion is really $200, and the rest is all incentives for public-private partnerships and incentivizing the state to raise the extra money to make up the difference. So.
All right. Thank you. I guess there was some there. I just didn't know what.
Yep. Something just came out yesterday again where they're emphasizing the rural area, which is good, but whether we'll be spending that money, I'm not sure. But if it does come to us, it'll be that funding slot money, so we'll get to see it in local dollars, hopefully. But we can only spend it on the farm-to-market system. On the
bridges and roads?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Funding swap we can spend on either.
The nice part for us, what we're looking at here is, the key is for us to have a really robust, aggressive plan that we put forward, and that way if anybody comes forward to us with this concept of, well, we've got some tag-along money, not paying for it, but we'll pay for part of it, as long as it's part of your program and you've identified other funding sources and you've done some things, that's where us having a good, aggressive five-year plan as we look at what might be happening makes a whole lot of sense, yeah. Especially in our farm-to-market system.
I'll go over our wants bridges here real quickly, just because two of them we had issues with this year in particular. We've closed this one on 248, so I took that off the wants list already. Cambridge structure down by the hole in the walls. One we're going to
That's where we turn it into a dump site.
Dump site as well this year.
I don't know that closing the bridge keeps stopping from being a dump site.
That's probably make it worse. Yeah. Dump. But right. We got to do something with the bridge at some point. This is the hole in the wall, but our bridge is back here behind it, real close. You can see the dump. That wasn't intended, but we got all kinds of dump at the bridge, too. We had some bad piling a number of years ago, so we did that at least. It's this abutment's the one that's got the real issues. It's really bowed out, and the piles are really rotted. I believe it's down to 3 or 5 ton posted. But we held a hearing a few years back to close it, and we had some people come and oppose that, so we decided not to close it at that point, but it may come to that again.
Do we ask the school not to drive their bus on it? Do we have that conversation or something?
This is the one, while our bridge inspectors were inspecting it, the school bus drove over it, and they contacted the school for me and told them they better not do that anymore.
Right. Show me the route. So if we got that closed, what's the route?
If this is closed, well, this is paved up here.
Yep.
You essentially have to come over. There's a gravel road right here. So it's a fairly... fairly good detour route. So the issue is, I don't know what kind of farm equipment can get through this anyway.
How much?
Sure.
What was in the barrel?
We're not sure what it was. It just it looked like somebody's shot barrel. It had all mixture of oil. And
I got a call. There was a dump barrel that was leaking out there, and Darren's guys got out there pretty quick and grabbed it. I just was curious what was in there.
We got a container. I need to find out what they did with it. They brought it back to shop and put it in a container so it doesn't leak more. But
as far as like the sink, the porcelain, and that kind of thing, how often are you able to get out and clean out the dump areas?
We're constantly out picking stuff out of the dishes and couches. And,
yeah, they're out. You'd be surprised what comes out north in the van.
I've heard that before, and I heard that on my ride along about picking it up, but I didn't know
stuff
about
under bridges. We don't see as often, so it probably stays there a little longer. But the stuff in the road ditches we're picking up constantly because we see it. It's hard to see it under the bridges until we inspect it or something. We don't know it's there.
Just throw it right out of the back of the pickup truck. Pull up on the bridge, throw it off.
Well, you see, more often than that, and I'm sure you see it too, is you see yard waste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for the new compost pile on the edge of the road.
Not going to grow much there.
So I think we need to reinitiate, Darren, the process to consider closing this. This is an entirely new board from the last time we had that conversation. We need to make sure we do full notifications, give everybody an opportunity to weigh back in, and this board needs to consider it on its merits.
I drove this when I was being the FedEx guy here the week before Christmas, just to knowing that this was coming for us, and this is a quiet connector road between two major gravels. I don't think you're going to, the knothole just denies the ag traffic, and that bridge is not worthy of replacement. If it comes to this, I would support that.
This is the Isaac Walton Bridge. We had this designed about 10 years ago, and it took like a 600-foot-long bridge because it's right. So low in the floodplain. That's why that's on the list for not replacing it. This is the Cambridge Bridge that mirrors the City of Ames Water Treatment Plant Bridge, same bridge design. This one is still in use. It's load posted.
We don't get the ag traffic there that we got on the one up by Ames, right?
I've seen grain carts go over this before, unfortunately. This is on the Hamilton County line. Need to talk to them. They have a new engineer to see what her thoughts are on possible closure in the future on this one. The historic one, Marty, you mentioned by Plunkett's in the background.
Yep.
This one we replaced.
Yep.
And then this is the water treatment plant one we had the issue on this year. As well as the next one, this is the driveway bridge back to this home. I had this in our list last year, but we had the issue 2 days before Christmas.
How did we get that as our bridge?
Well, there was an old farmstead on the north side here that it led to a long time ago. And this house was built, I believe, about 20 years ago. At that point, it was the time to get rid of that road, but we missed the opportunity there. Mm-hmm. So it served that old farmstead. I don't know if the road went all the way through at one point or not.
Anyway.
And then this one, this is back down by Cambridge. Again, we had a picture of that bridge in before. This is a driveway bridge. It's actually a three-span bridge. It's a long bridge that serves this farm ground that Blacks has now purchased all the ground, so it has another access. So I sent them a letter to tell them we were going to... The board took action to close this when you do the resolution with all the bridges. So I notified her that we closed it, and she... I thought she'd be okay with that, but she's not. She has some CRP right here. She says that's the only way she can access that when the crops are in. So I replied to her, and I haven't heard back again, but I'd really like to get rid of the structure. We're not sure if it's in or outside the right-of-way is another problem we're having on the legal side. This road was realigned, and it doesn't appear they bought new right-of-way, so it's a really confusing area. Huh. For right away, so still working on that one to get rid of. That's a picture of it.
it's even more overgrown than that. You couldn't even hardly tell there was a bridge there, so I have a hard time believing it's getting used at all.
Darren, did she say she just didn't know, or that we were closing that little bridge?
No, and it's been closed. We put, that's the other problem with this area, is we put up closure signs and they get stolen. It's just a really rural area, and it's hard to keep up signs like that in rural areas. So the signs keep getting stolen, but she hasn't noticed the closure, so I don't manage to use it very often if she even does it all.
Okay.
That was just her comments she's had so far, is that's the only way to access this. One option is we could possibly sell it to her for $1, and it's her responsibility, so that might be something I'd take up with the county attorney at some point.
Okay, thank you.
That brings us to our funding balance sheet there that we have. This is going to kind of change in the future because of the funding swap. There's three sections here at the top. We have revenues coming in, expenditures in the middle, and then our balance on the right. And then the three types of funding, farm to market, SDP is our federal aid road funding, and BRS is our federal aid bridge funding. The last two, SDP and BRS, are the funding swap dollars, so those will all be swapped to local dollars. So, but they're all going to be kind of kept separate still, so I'll keep the spreadsheet the same. We'll just be able to spend it on more roads and just federal aid system roads. Anyway, so you can see the balances on the right. Where it turns to red is where we turn negative. So everything that's in the program is reflected on this sheet. What this sheet doesn't show is our local dollars for construction. These are only our special funds.
And tell us the rules again, how far you're able to go into the red for how long.
Well, see, that's the part that's so confusing right now. We've got a number of things going on. We've got the funding swap. We've got this fiscal constraint, which is this next screen I wanted to show you. This is a spreadsheet from the DOT about, this is specific to bridge funds, the BR money, federal aid bridge dollars. Story County is at the very bottom. Our FY18 ending balance is minus 201. But these are the important ones. They give you targets now. Our FY19 target is 140,000. FY20 is 341. They'll let you program over $500,000 over these targets. But this is the confusing part. After all the counties turn in their programs, they look at the balances, and then they go back and say, you need to take this out, to bring everything back down. So we do a programming session, but then they'll come back and tell you got to take more stuff out. This is the bridge funding fiscal constraint issue. We don't know if this is going to go away because of the funding swap. But the main reason I wanted to point this out is if we have not talked about the City of Ames Skunk River Bridge yet. If we wanted to do that with our current funding streams, we'd have to use our federal aid bridge fund to do that. That would push us out. If it was $1.5 million, you know, they would not even let us program that probably out to the fourth or fifth year.
Right.
And so that's where I get in that delay. If we wanted to replace that bridge with this type of money, we couldn't even program it for 4 or 5 years.
But that's not entirely accurate, because this board has the ability, if this board were to choose, to go borrow money.
If we want to use it as a separate fund, yes. This is strictly...
If we were using the federal... So what Darren's saying is 100% right, but it's not the only possible pathway,
right,
if we determined we were replacing that bridge.
When do we see having a more... detailed conversation about that, about our options.
So where I have it in my mind right now is, it is still a staff conversation between Darren and the people in Ames. I think at this point, what we've seen, and Darren, don't let me misstate this at all, we see Ames kind of digging their heels in on what they want without offering a whole lot of solutions or willingness to participate. And so in my mind, and it's, that's just up to this board, in my mind, I was just planning on letting it percolate for a little while. And at some point, I believe it's going to rise to the level with the city of Ames that they're going to come back, not to say they pushed away from the table, but they're going to be willing to come back to the table with a little more willingness than, right now the sense I get is, county, this is your problem, we want it fixed, get it fixed for us.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's a reasonable place to start the conversation, and so I've kind of left it alone, waiting for staff to get back together. The answer to your question, Morris, is we'll take it back up as a body anytime this body wants to take it back up. I'm just telling you kind of how I'm seeing this thing right now. I think I'm expecting it's going to be a conversation in the next 60 to 90 days.
Yeah, because what is happening is the county attorney is working with us to come up with a temporary agreement to use their private road for the farm community.
Okay, sure.
So that will have to come back to the board at some point. So that will happen first, I hope. And then we can have a discussion on the long-term solution, but this is trying to get the short-term solution.
But I'm seeing that long-term solution conversation happening at the staff level first and then coming to the two bodies.
I would only hope that there would be discussions on possible farm access through that Ames lane.
That's what the county attorney is negotiating.
I'm just throwing it out there. Sorry, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the whole picture.
When, we're going to need farm access now. We're mid-February, so farmers are going to want it in April, maybe?
I suspect that'd be, I would say April on.
Okay, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe mid-April. Okay, for that part, which the attorneys are working on right now. But then if I kind of recap what I heard, is that we've got city staff and county staff. And city staff are the ones who are communicating this. Are they indicating that it's what the council has told them? Or we've got staff to staff right now?
Yeah. Council has not weighed in on this at all.
Okay. So my only concern is that if we don't at some time take a look at it on the elected official level for both sides, all right, do we let staff get too far, spend too much time?
Define some time for it. I agree with you,
okay.
But define what that, so your options are, and I'm being a little facetious when I say this, but your options are tonight, we go over to the city council meeting,
I'll pass on that, yeah, I think we should have it on the agenda.
All the way up sure. To getting further into the spring. So here's the reality, the bridge is not going to be replaced. Okay, so let's say we said, okay, we've identified the money, go build the bridge. We're 18 months away from building the bridge.
Yeah.
So the bridge is not going to be built in this construction season and probably not the next construction season.
Right.
Which means we don't have to make a decision right this second. So let's let it breathe for a minute and then get to it. So this is going to happen at the elected official level. It absolutely is going to happen there. The question is, Laura, how do we get there? And the three of us need to decide from our perspective how we get there.
Correct. And what I sort of heard, though, is, Rick, you expressed a preference here about that they need to come in and chip in. And I don't know that, Mark, is that what I heard, that you'd like to see Ames come to the table with some kind of
money?
Yeah,
that's not what I said.
Okay, I'm glad I'm checking it out.
What I said is I would like Ames to be at the table with an attitude that's a little different than, this is your bridge, fix it.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad I asked. Okay, all right.
Whatever that means.
So, So at what point then is it really appropriate that the three of us have the conversation about maybe does one of us feel it is our problem and let's just take a look at it and move forward? That's where I was really headed.
I would expect this back at the people in our behalf that are having the conversations with the city of Ames, and when do they think that would be where they can inform us so that we could get to a decision-making point where do we just take in under advisement or do we seek to act on it?
Right. Yeah. Is it when we start to get calls from those the people who want access to
it? I think if you're doing this with enough lead time, with enough notice, I've done a little bit of outreach checking on who's who. And so the thing is, we can be informative, but I would like to have an action plan in place. So here's the traffic patterns in the near future.
There's been a reach out. There hasn't been a contact, but there's been a reach out to every property owner with that property back there. Again, don't take that to mean that every property owner back there is fully informed, because they're not. But there has been a reach out to every property owner back there. And the answer to what I heard your question for us is, when do we talk about it? If there is one supervisor that feels like we need to just have this on an agenda to make a decision, then let's get it on an agenda. I would hope that there's an opportunity to try to work with Ames to come to some kind of reasonable mutual decision. But it is, in fact, Story County Bridge. The Story County Board of Supervisors can deal with it any time we choose to deal with it.
All right. I think that's good for today. Thanks, okay. Fidel.
Well, there's a process that we're engaged. We're doing something, even though it's not done here.
Right.
The dollars weren't what they are, I think it would be an easy for us to say, if this were a $500,000 bridge or a box,
right.
Clearly the conversation would be different. It's not that story. And because we have, you know, it's a dead end, and the city of Ames has the expectation that this bridge would be brought back into use, I get that, but there is an alternate path here, and we do have other affected parties into the farm people, but we are having conversations to a conclusion, an end point, and they're doing, I can wait for this one, because the thing is, if we get to the right place, then that was what we needed to do.
I think for now, then I will figure out who maybe I need to talk to. I haven't talked to any of the landowners, and so, okay, thanks.
I don't know, you're in Ames, talk to somebody in Ames. See what they're going to say.
Right, that was my thought. Okay, thank you, Jerry.
I also haven't completely ruled out a repair option. Things are frozen out right now, and we need to dig out this piling a little bit, see what kind of condition they're in. I need to get this bridge contractor in here to look at it with me. There's a chance, if he's able to lift this bridge and we can do a little bit more of a minor repair than what I proposed earlier, that was 90 to 100. We don't really want to spend quite that much on a bridge that wasn't going to last much longer.
Right.
If we can do a much lower cost repair, I haven't completely ruled that out yet, but it's going to take a little more investigation this spring.
And as I recall, one of the things that scared you is you have heard, you don't know, but you've heard that in a previous repair, they put concrete all the way down the back side of that bridge, and that's going to make repair really, really tough. And so it just kind of
rolled that repair option out. If the existing piling are in good shape and we can brace that enough to set the bridge back on it, but we can't see the piling, they're completely buried right now.
Right.
So we'll dig some of that out. What that doesn't solve is the farm track. If we did that repair, I'd probably lower that posting much more than it is right now for safety, but it'd get cars over it for the Ames traffic to get back there.
Right.
But it wouldn't solve
it. But that could be part of this everybody has skin in the game conversation that we have, Morris, and I'm speaking completely hypothetically here. But let's say we figure out that we can repair that bridge to a level that it can handle regular vehicular traffic, not heavy equipment, right? Regular vehicular traffic, and we can get an agreement with the city of Ames that our heavier equipment can utilize what is currently a private access road. Now all of a sudden we're getting closer to a win-win. Right now, up until this happened, we had a bridge that was load posted to not allow any of the heavy equipment back onto those farm fields, and they had no other way to get there, to legally get there and get out. So that has to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of moving parts here.
Right. All right. Just keeping all of us informed is good. I've learned a lot sitting right here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Rick, I want to get back to your question about borrowing ahead. And when you get down towards the fifth year, you can see I'm getting into a lot of negative numbers. There are some big positive numbers up top, but that's because we spend it all later in the program. But by the end of the 5 years, we've pretty well spent all the money. The other reason why that's hard to answer right now is the funding swap money. That's money that comes into the DOT as federal aid dollars, and they pass it down to the counties. When this funding swap got approved, the DOT all of a sudden says, oh, by the way, we borrowed $100 million of that money. Didn't really tell you guys. So we don't have it available. So we don't know how quickly we're going to be able to release this funding swap money to the counties. So that's why I have a hard time answering how far we can borrow ahead or stuff like that. A lot of it's going to come out here in the next year, how quickly we can even spend this funding swap money, because we got to pay the DOT back, or DOT has to pay the county fund back first.
But you feel relatively comfortable, especially with the first 3 years of what you've got on here. So it bridges is where you seem to get upside down the fastest, but it's never more than $400,000. You feel like that's kind of reasonable, and then we're going to know more about what's happening in 22 when we get closer to 22.
Yeah, and bridges are the most important one, because you can borrow 3 years ahead right now the way the rules are, but I think that's all going to change.
Okay.
But if you accumulate over 3 years, they take that money away from you and give it to the other counties, so you never want to let that run too big of a balance. But the other ones, you can run a little bit bigger balance if you're saving up for a bigger project or something.
Okay. Well, I like the way you're managing right here, as long as the rules will allow it to do it this way. And I like the program that you brought forward. Boris Hardy, questions, comments?
No, it's a pretty good narrative. I appreciate the fact you have been aggressive. I would insist on continuing to be aggressive. And
you get the flu, are you?
Who doesn't have it?
So the only change I'm hearing is I want to swap those two bridges.
Yep.
I'll take the one out, put the new one in, and I'll print out a new map for you and put it on that board before it comes to the board for approval.
Yep.
And you wanted to move up, what was that one, Rick? You had said that you had a little bit of love towards there on the paving side of things. What was that?
We'll move Southwest up.
Yeah.
To that the top was, of our wish list.
Oh, the wish list. But not
no, that's, no, I'm just saying that you had the one there as a placeholder.
And we're pulling 580th or 560th south of 210 out. It's going to just be on the wish list with no date next to it.
Okay.
And I also heard, Darren, that we will, and I'm not talking about in the next week or month or anything like that, but we'll start having the conversation about the bridge right there by the hole in the wall, closing it. That's what I heard coming out of today.
Yeah. So, Darren, could we get Lucy when you're... Okay, thank you.
So, can you tell me where we are at the interstate on both the flyover, on the off-ramp, and then walk me towards 580th as far as you understand it?
Haven't had a lot of updates since they had the last major announcement from the DOT. The flyover, understand that'll be fall completion.
Okay.
As far as the interchange at 580th, we're looking 5 years before that even starts, if then. But that's all I've heard is that 580th is the only part of that whole Highway 30 corridor that will happen. And the 590th closure, whether or not that will actually...
Yeah, so I'll reach out to Doc Stetter this week and see if I can
meet
with him and see if we can get him in here for a Tuesday morning. Darren, I wanted to be a Tuesday morning if you were available to be over here, and we'll have the full conversation. Anything else for us today?
Oh, good. I appreciate the time.
Okay.
Tyler, thanks for what you do in the background. I know that you know this is part of your story, too.
When are you planning on bringing this back to us for we got to do the public hearing and the approval?
Sure. It has to be before April 10th. I'll probably do it the week before that, so it probably won't be until April.
April 3rd or...
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Thanks.
And lastly, on the agenda, we do have building updates. I'll just give you a quick update.
Yeah, sure.
They did start working again last week on the Kelly Shed. They poured the foundation. I think the idea is they'll get the foundation when the building comes in. That took 60 to 90 days to get the materials. Then they can house it and heat it before they pour the slab. Mm-hmm. So that's still moving, actually. I think they're going to try the same up and rolling to get the foundation in anyway. So a little more will be happening sooner than I thought it would. But
good.
They're still talking June completion, but Kelly will probably get done first.
Okay.
Excellent. That's much to have on those.
Outstanding. Any questions?
I have none.
Good. Good day today.
Yes.
A lot of information. You got that, Deb?
Yes.